Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number three on Open Land Fun Sunday. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Sickos. It's Robert.
All right, Robert, here we go. Final hour already. It's crazy. Time flies. All right. It's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Phone lines are open, 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. All right, let's go to Mike on the phone lines. Mike, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
Man, I'm having a great morning because I'm on my way to Galveston to see if I can pull something out of the water.
Pull something out of the water. There you go. Something.
Something. Yeah. I'm always going after trout, though.
So yeah. Guys, yeah. It might be a bull red morning with all this wind and everything and all that weather we had last night.
Well, in all honesty, I'm hoping for one of those. Also, because everybody's catching them. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to fish in 3 months because we're so short-handed at work. You know, we're doing 6 days. On that day off, I haven't been able to do anything but rest. So I'm finally heading out. But, hey, look, my question is, I'm trying to put it in layman's terms for me if you can real quick. The moon phases, how does that work and affect fishing?
Well, that, you know, that's a good question. It kind of depends on the fish and the amount of fish you have. You know, we see it differently all the time. It's kind of like the guys I've been talking to this week. They've been, fishing on this full moon and on the backside of it, and they're getting, you know, a fairly early morning bite. And usually, normally, I'll have a better midday bite, you know, on a full or backside of a full moon than what's going on right now. It's crazy.
Right there real quick. The backside of the full moon. What exactly? That's where I'm lost at. I'm really trying to grasp this moon thing.
Well, what happens once you get on the backside, you know, we tend to have slower fishing days, especially about a week after the full moon. Right now, you're kind of in between that full moon and backside bite, and there's like an early morning bite, and usually when that moon goes down and it gets below you, you'll get a minor feeding period where you get a good midday to afternoon bite. What I'm seeing right now, there's a good early morning bite, and, you know, usually by 11 o'clock, the fish are just kind of, you know, turning off like a light switch. But late evening should be good right now, too. And I've been, you know, it's like Charlie the other day. His fishing report was totally different. Everybody's their fish bit all day long in Matagorda. So, who knows? My deal is I try to play the wind, the tides, and, you know, the moon phase and all that. And you turn into a textbook fisherman and you don't do as well. The best way to really catch fish is just to be there when it happens. You got to fish to know. And if you're there when they bite, you're lucky. And if you're there when they don't bite, you're unlucky. It's just, that's fishing.
True. I appreciate that.
I mean, realistically, if we everybody knew when the right time to fish was, it would, you know, we could nail it down and we wouldn't have to fish but 2 or 3 hours a day to catch what we need, you know.
Pretty crazy. That's true. So what are the winds out there in Galveston? Is it
I'm looking 15? At it right now. Offshore it's 25 to 31 out of the east southeast. But inshore, we're looking at Galveston Pier 21. It's 15 to 22 out of the southeast. Eagle Point is east-southeast at 17 to 20. So, got a little bit of breeze this morning.
It seems like every time I go there, that's always the story.
I know. Where are you planning on fishing today?
Well, I planned on moving around. I'm a bank fisherman. I don't have a boat.
Right.
So I was going to go over, try to catch some flounder. I don't know if they started moving into the basin in there yet, but I'm sorry.
No, I mean, but what area?
Near the ferry.
Near the ferry? It'd be worth a try, you know, for flounder. I know, talking to Dave Fremont the other day, Friday, he was talking about the dike. They're starting to catch a few flounder, you know, up and down the riprap along the edge of the rocks using jigs and working that. And they're catching a lot of bull reds off the dike. They got a bull red run going on there, too. And a few trout, a few sand trout, a few croaker. But he's been targeting flounder and catching 2 or 3 a day, just messing around fishing up and down the rocks, the edge of them, where those flounder get up in there tight.
I had a friend of mine just the other day was at the dike and sent me a video of a 7-foot bull shark right down the third.
Ooh, man.
On the beach side, right there at the dike.
Mm-mm-mm.
I didn't know they had them out there, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some big boys down there wading dollar flats and all that before. They've come in there and run us all off the flat.
Yeah, that run me off. I'm good out there now. So.
Yeah, I'll let them have it, and I'm not that mad at them.
No, not at all. But, man, I appreciate your information.
All right,
I'm just going to go out here and see if I can get lucky.
Hey, just make the most of it. You know, you got a little wind to contend with, but, you know, water conditions shouldn't be a problem.
Gotcha.
You know, we're good and salty, and water ought to stay clean. So maybe you'll get lucky and pop you something, man.
Yeah, maybe I can try to cause for something, too. Maybe it's not as bad over that way.
Well, that's true. Just try to get out of the wind, you know, where you're able to, you know, cast with the wind at your back anyway. Nobody likes fishing into a headwind.
Okay, Captain, thank you for your time.
All right, Mike.
Make sure I got this call in.
All right, buddy. Well, good luck with your day off and hope you catch something, bud.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, thank you. All right, see you. All right. Now, let's, what you do, you get a day off and it happens. All right, who's up next here? Let's go to Jimmy. Jimmy, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. I'd like to talk a little bit of Astros this morning.
Okay.
I know how everybody wants Carlos Correa to stay here. And I was thinking, what if someone set up an online benefit fund and let the fans donate money? And I honestly think it would get a huge amount of money. And that way, if Mr. Crane and Carlos couldn't come to arrangements, if he would go ahead and sign with the Astros, then he would get that money from the benefit fund, and that might make the difference of him staying or us losing him.
I don't know.
That's what I want to know. What do you see as the negative of that?
Negative of what? The fundraising of
having
the money?
Raising money to keep Carlos here.
Well, I mean,
that be insulting to Mr. Crane.
Jim Crane's got a lot more money than we do. But, I don't know how that correlates with, you know, Major League Baseball within the rules.
I don't either.
The salary cap and all that.
And
they I mean, it's a good idea, you know, to try and keep the guy, but I mean, that's his decision. Look what Garrett Cole did. I mean, for the money, the contract he got and took off to New York.
I mean, I didn't.
He wasn't as loyal of a team man to me as Carlos is. I mean, the
right, yeah.
Bad thing I hate to see about Carlos leaving is, man, it'll change Altuve. I mean, the entire infield. It'll just, I mean, those guys have got a great mix.
I know. And they just broke up.
They're all like family, you know. I mean, watch them play. I watch other baseball teams, and, you know, I love the sport itself, but there's no more fun than watching an Astros game. It's like, it's totally different. The team just, man, they're just, they're like family to each other.
I know when one of them makes a good play, the others are all smiles and high-fiving.
Oh, yeah.
They just, I mean, they love each other. It's obvious.
They do.
And when you watch other teams, you don't see that camaraderie. You don't see that, man, look, that excitement when any one of them makes a good move, you know.
I'm with you, buddy.
I hope that's enough to keep Carlos here, but I was just thinking maybe a whole big chunk of somewhere it's a bonus might help too, but it's like a lot of my ideas. Ain't very good.
Well,
but
money,
I'm just wondering.
You know, it's his decision, and it just depends on what is that extra money worth to him over how he values his leadership and team loyalty and all that. I mean, that's a big part of it. I mean, it would be for me because, you know, I kind of – money doesn't mean as much to me as friendship and family and things like that. It just – it's up to him, man.
Yeah, I mean, getting older and money's not as important to me as many other things. But he's a younger man. And, I mean, I wouldn't fault him. I'd be disappointed like the rest of us would be. But how do you fault a man for turning down tens of millions of dollars, you know?
Yeah, you can't. I mean, that's his call, and it's too personal.
Yeah. Well, Mickey, I just wanted to run it by somebody because I just thought, man – anything to try to get him to stay here, but like I say, ultimately it's between him and Mr.
Well, Frank. If he wants that big money, he better step it up in the World Series because he hadn't performed quite as as I would like for him to do in the playoffs.
He had
one
much
big
as he would
home
really.
Run that night, you know, which won the game for us.
Used to feel real confident when he gets stepped up, but he's kind of slowed down a little bit. All right, Captain Mickey, you have a great day, sir.
Okay, you too, sir. Thank you. All right. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 519 or 619 in Bayou City. Time's going by so fast, I don't even know what an hour it is this morning. All right, let's get back to our phone lines. Next up, we have Rick. Rick, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you today?
I'm good. What's up, man?
Well, I want to make a real quick comment on your caller about Carlos and the Astros. What I would like for Carlos to do is to just give me enough money in a donation where I could afford to bring my family and watch a game. And I'll leave it at that. You know where I'm coming from there.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the real world here. You know, I've heard you comment frequently about you're seeing a lot of bow kills, some really good deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do Facebook anymore. I just, for lots of reasons.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I don't see as much as I used to. But with what I do for a living, which you know, and as many people as I know and landowners I deal with and hunters I lease to and places I manage this and that, I'm not seeing any. I mean, normally I'm bombarded with bow kill pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And I just haven't really seen any. And, you know, it's kind of puzzled me why, you know, I've asked a lot of my hunters and my landowners, and I kind of agree with them. I think it has a lot to do with this $2.90 $3 a cent gallon in this 10 and 12 and 13 dollar bags of corn.
It does.
I think people just having to pull back. And, you know, they've paid a lot of money to hunt on these places, but they're not really taking advantage of it like they used to. And that's the only thing I can do. The weather's been perfect. And it just kind of puzzles me why, you know, normally just even on a bad year, I'll get a lot of pictures.
Right.
And
well, I haven't seen a lot. I've seen a few. You know, I've seen a few good pictures of people I know that are hunting that have had good kills with the bow.
Would you say you've seen less than normal years?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. I mean, just, you know, I'm on Facebook, got a lot of friends, and I'm not seeing a lot on Facebook. I mean, it's definitely probably you're right, hunting pressure is down due to the expense. I mean, that's like me. If I'm going to run down to the deer lease for the weekend, you know, I drive a diesel truck. That I'm going to spend $300 just in fuel to go there and back, not to mention corn, food, you know, the whole nine yards. You're looking just, you know, a weekend trip's going to cost you $1,000 to $1,200 just to make a quick run.
Very possible.
Easily.
You know, the other thing is we have I do a lot of deer surveying and a lot of fence riding, just, you know, keeping an eye on things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing theft up a little bit more than normal, a little more breaching of property than normal.
Right.
And I think I've got that figured out too. But I tell you, the deer crop is as good as I've ever seen it in our general geographical area. And, you know, there's some guys out there. I know it's, you know, I understand the financial aspect of it, but dadgum, they need to get in the woods. Now, I haven't seen any first sign of a rut anywhere yet. Usually I'll see it first right in the immediate northwest area of Harris County.
Yeah.
Grams, Washington, you know, even Waller, northwest Harris County. And, you know, it don't take but a little bit of change in the weather, you'll start seeing bucks chasing a little bit in places you normally wouldn't. And so it's just a bit of an interesting year. Of course, everything else is kind of out of whack, too. So, but I was just curious if you were seeing a lot, you know, beating my phone on the side of my truck. Now, is this thing working or what? I mean, how come I'm not getting pictures? But anyway, I just want to throw that out.
No, I mean, I've seen less.
If a guy can get out there, he needs to get out there now.
Yeah, like what you're talking about, I've seen a lot less photos because I don't think people have, you know, and most people that are hunting are working people, and right now the people are just, man, they got the nose to the grindstone right now. They're working a lot of hours, and, you know, they just can't get enough help. I mean, I know people that own their own personal businesses, and they can't even beg anybody to work for them right now for whatever reason. I don't understand that.
I don't either, and I hear that too.
They're short-staffed and just, you know, understaffed and everything, and just everybody's having to work extra hours to keep up.
You know, the other component to this that is part of the puzzle is, you know, leasing land for hunting has just gotten harder and harder and harder to get. And there's lots of factors why. I won't get into all that. We can spend days talking about that. But
yeah.
the thing is, people are still paying their leases, but they're just not going hunting.
Right.
And due to these landowners now with the technology, and, you know, as easy it is to find an owner, you know, they're still getting bombarded with people wanting to lease their land. And, of course, that's making them want to raise the lease amount per gun or hunter. And they're, you know, people are paying it and they're leasing it. They're just not using them.
Right.
So, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I thought I'd share it.
Yeah, it's all understandable, too. I mean, it fits into the equation. I mean, it costs a lot more to just do a little bit. Money is not going as far now. Like you were talking about, price of corn, availability on ammunition, you know, fuel prices. I mean, all of it. It all weighs into the equation, and it makes a difference.
I got a feeling that that's playing a big part of it. And I know for me, I cover some ground now.
Yeah, you do.
And just my gas.
Your fuel bill's ridiculous now.
Well, it's well over $1,000 a month. I mean, I'm sitting here. I normally get a new truck every year. I can't get one. I'm in a 2020 right now. That's about 14 months old. I'm looking at 129 and 158 on the feet on my mileage, and I get a little nervous when I get up to about 140.
How about that? If they pass that bill and then that fuel or mileage tax is in there, you talk about affecting you big time. If it's 8 cents a mile and you're running, you know, 100,000 miles a year at what you do, I mean, you're talking at the end of the year, $8,000 on your taxes.
Well, that's exactly right.
That's a lot of money.
I've even heard through some of the industry trade organizations and associations that, of course, this is an awful big topic, is there is some chatter out there about a rationing limit of what you can buy per vehicle.
Oh, boy.
In other words, they're going to say, okay, you're averaging this. If you go over that, well, guess what? You ain't going to buy no more gas for that month.
Boy, I'm telling you that would...
What if I have to go to Alpine? You know, I get something hot going out there. You know, I can burn up, almost 2,000 miles in a round trip. Or close to, by the time I cruise everything out there. That one worries me more than anything. It's when someone said, well, no, you can't go buy gas today, Rick. Your card is, you've maxed out.
You've used up all your carbon credits.
there you go. Your
carbon
footprint
credits
got a little too big this month.
That would not be good.
Anyway.
You know, and I wonder how it's going to affect the, how it will affect the marine industry, too, with boat fuel and cost.
You better believe it. You know what kind of mileage they get. So, you can burn it up, no doubt about it. I was thinking about that. These guys that run, they talk about, running, I ran 30 miles a day. I ran 50 miles a day. I'm running two engines. Nobody's really said anything about the fuel that I've heard, but that's got to be back of their mind because
they're
going to have to pass that on somehow.
Real quick before the break, you brought that up. That's why, all these charter boats now are having to fill out a log on how much fuel, where they gassed up, how many gallons they bought. And I always wondered, why do they want to know that? When they're logging their fish and everything they do for the day, these offshore captains, that's probably part of it. They want to know exactly how much fuel you've used, and once you use your allotment, they can shut you down. I mean, that's...
Well, I had never heard of that, but it doesn't surprise me. And, I think we're pretty like-minded. That's just really, if I'm paying for it, it's really none of nobody's business how many gallons of fuel I burn.
Well, that's the way they're looking at it, though. It's a lot of things changing right now. Things are going in a negative direction in my books, but that's to be seen. Well,
I remember, you can remember when the corn was, $3.50 a bag or whatever.
Right.
I went into a place the other day. I said, how much is your corn? I didn't care how much it cost because I needed it. And they said $8.50, which sounded pretty darn good. And they said, how much you want? I said, how much you got? And they said, well, about two pallets. I said, my truck will carry two pallets. So I bought every bag they got. I hated to do it, but I got to have it.
Yep.
Because I use it marketing property. I got to get pictures and show what's on that property. But anyway, I know you got to go to a break, Mickey. Thank you for taking the
call.
Okay,
Rick. Have a good one. Good talking to you, buddy. Right. See you, man.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right.
It's been way too long since you slipped away. I just can't forget. I can't pretend it's okay.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 637 in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our phone lines. We have a few available for the final segment. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610. All right, let's go up to Wrestling Chambers Reservoir, and let's check in with our good friend Royce Simmons. Royce, good morning. How are you, man?
Good morning, Mickey. I just so much enjoyed that last caller because it was a conversation my son and I were having on the drive back from the lake to the house yesterday. Not to get too political, but, you know, this inflation stuff affects the pocketbook, and people vote with pocketbooks. I think things may change a little bit over the next 10 to 12 years. We may not be around to see it all, but I tell you what, it's just kind of crazy with, fuel impacts everything, our oil, gas, you know, what we eat, what we get, what we wear, whatever, and it's just interesting to start hearing people talk about it because we hadn't had inflation the last – it's been a long time since we talked inflation.
Yeah, it's been quite a while. It's no joke either. It's going on, and it's happening fast.
You can't afford a pound of bacon anymore if you can find it.
I mean –
I do kind of remember those several years ago when we had some of that spike in the gas prices and stuff. It affected the number of people getting out and doing the things that we love to do, fishing and hunting. And, you know, you can't pull a boat 60 or 80 miles behind an old F-250 or 350 diesel, run a two-stroke engine, and have any money left in your pocketbook. So it's real, and it's starting to happen right now. I just hear so many people talking about it, and it's putting a crunch on the way we've been accustomed to living. So
it is.
Maybe we'll get this thing straightened back out.
It's affecting all the outdoor activities, you know, that people, the extra money they had, you know, to do things like that and recreate, and now they're not having it and they're not being able to do it. So it's changing the disposition in people and all aspects of life. It's crazy, man.
It is just really crazy, isn't it? But, you know, can't give up on it. We, like I said, me and you may not be around to see the repercussion of it, but I think we got enough folks that still have some common sense about them to right the ship. So we'll keep hanging in there. It's been a good week on RC. Summertime is still kind of hanging on, but at least we're putting a hoodie on for that boat ride at about 7:15 in the morning. So I think Tuesday I saw the DFW forecast for our area. We might set a new record high, 90 degrees.
Right.
It's crazy.
I saw
a cool front coming in. I assume it's a cool front. I didn't look too much at the temps. I know a north wind was going to, I think, howl on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, something like that. But
same here. Pretty good stiff northwest wind, and at least it'll be cool for Halloween.
That'll be good. We had a good week, got our trips in, and we ended the week with something that we do usually – spring or fall. We got several Boy Scout troops that still use us to do some of their recreational stuff. And there was 20 something of them come into the marina on Friday night, pitched the tents, and on Saturday morning about daybreak, the first shuttle, we put four boys and a dad in a boat and go out for about two and a half hours, come back and pick up another group. And we did that a couple of times yesterday. We had to focus on the catfish, although the whites have kind of shown back up and gives you a choice. But that the breeze yesterday was the south wind, and we'd gone out on Friday afternoon and baited out several holes along the south shoreline and some timber. And what the Boy Scouts do, they fish with us on Saturday, but they also spend Saturday night and do a fish fry. So we put enough catfish in the ice chest, even with, you know, some of the city kids. They just don't know how to fish, but it's nothing bad that they've done. They don't know how to fish, never fished.
Well, yeah.
Setting the hook on a catfish for some of them, you know, 10 or 12 year old, 12, 13 year old boys. These were Boy Scouts. It's a first time experience. So, you heard some hooting and hollering for less than 1 pound channel catch. it was a good morning. Well, I don't have any fish we caught, but we kept plenty enough for their Saturday night fish fry. And then they're probably getting around to getting up here in a little bit and they'll go on home. But we got several troops that do that over the years. And the rest of that story is on, I think it was Monday or Tuesday of last week, I had a dad from the DFW area fish with me, and he had his 27-year-old son. And I looked at the kid, young man, and I said, "Do I know you?" And Jeff said, "You don't remember him? He was one of those 13 or 14-year-old Boy Scouts you fished with about 15 years ago."
How about that?
So, it's kind of sad. You. We're fishing with kids and now grandkids of some of these parents, but that's what it's all about. Been good. Fishing's good. Catfishing has kind of been the mainstay, but the whites did show up in some pretty good numbers on several of my other buddies' reports. So Adam ran a combo catfish and white bass exploring trip on Thursday, and he came away with a nice box of whites too. So we may have our choice over the next few weeks of what kind we want to go after.
Like when you bait those catfish holes, mm-hmm. What do you bait them with, and how do you do that?
You know, it kind of depends. We started catfishing early again this year, late summer, instead of, you know, really on up into the fall. And I get a 5-gallon bucket. I punch holes in it, drill 15, 20 little quarter-inch drill bit holes in them, and fill them with range cubes. Mm-hmm. Put me a little nylon cord on it. And depending on the depths, we'll sink them to, you know, 2 or 3 feet off the bottom. And in 3 or 4 days, you got to replenish them because that stuff dissolves. And catfish, I'm assuming they're hitting that bucket down there, the little drum or carp are. And
right.
You'll have to replenish it. But as we move more and more into the fall and the cooler months, these fish are up the creek, the Richland arm we use, and there's tons of bait up there. Birds are up there. Cormorants are up there. And the catfish are up there. So early on, we're baiting out some holes, and on every trip, I'm carrying a little fermented grain or chicken scratch and throw some out, and the channels just scarf that up. The blues don't seem to eat it quite as much, but if you pull up to a spot that you hadn't had baited out and you throw out a little bit of grain or a few range cubes, and you don't have a bite going in 15 minutes, I move to a little right. different depth or whatever. But it's just so many catfish on this lake that they get congregated where the bait is, and they're there all the way through the winter. And about the only downside of it is it's about a 15-minute run from our marina up to where we're fishing. So, on those really windy days, you may have to change your plan a little bit. But like yesterday, we fished an area that was a forest that's now underwater, but it's protected by a south shoreline, so we didn't have to beat the Cub Scouts up or the Boy Scouts up going way up the creek.
But, right.
You know, you kind of adjust accordingly. If you got your main lake white bass going and you got a strong wind, you can always change to catfishing, or if you want to do a little bit of both, you know, we just put the catfish bait, the white bass rods and whatever in, and do a little bit of both on a 4 or 5 hour trip.
I got you. Well, that's,
I figure you got listeners on this last little segment, but I just want to appreciate the time to vent my few bits of political stuff. And I got it out of my system for the week.
Well, we'll just have to get through this and, you know, hope things change down the road, but it's not very glamorous right now. It's tough on a lot of people. That extra
money is
just not there to do the outdoor activities they'd like to be doing right now.
It's going to,
you know, Rick hit the nail on the head about, you know, the lack of hunting pressure due to the price of corn and fuel and everything else. It takes money to do things.
It does. It's just, you know, you don't think about it until you start having to, wow, I thought I had a few 20s in my wallet to pay for these range cubes of chicken scratch. And they went up 25%. So, you know, it's just crazy times. But you know what? I think people vote with their pocketbook, and we may see some changes in the not-too-distant future. I hope
so. You want to make people mad and tinker with their money. Man, when you start playing with their money, that causes problems.
Yeah. Been there, done that, but we'll get through it. Hey, I'm going to hang up and let some callers talk to you, okay?
Hey, Royce, give them out a number. Somebody wants to come up and fish with you and Adam, bud.
You bet. That's easy. 903-389-4117. GoneFishing.biz. And go Astros.
Yeah, buddy. That's it. Well, your Cowboys are looking pretty good this year, too.
We got one or two teams in the North Texas area we can root for. It's going to be a while before my Rangers get back to respectable, I think. But
well,
who knows?
They'll turn it around.
They will.
They'll rebuild. We're just riding a big high down here in H-Town right now.
Three World Series in
5 years. That's pretty impressive.
They are strong. I mean, they've built an organization. So that's good for you guys. Good for the fans.
Yeah, it is.
Take care.
We need something good down here because our football team's pretty crummy. You didn't have to. I'll say it for you.
y'all have a good one.
See you, Royce. All right, Royce Simmons, good guy from up in the DFW area. All right, let's go to James. James, good morning. You're on the Outdoor Show.
Good morning, Captain Mickey.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm long time listening. I'm this tarpon. I heard you talking about someone down south. They fish for tarpon. What is that fish for? What do you do? The purpose of it?
It's just for fun. It's strictly catch and release fish. If you've never battled a tarpon, it's an incredible experience. Boy, they are fun to catch. You get all those beautiful jumps out of them and big runs, and they're just a big, powerful, beautiful fish.
Now, I want another question. This little John, what that little John look like? You fish with?
It's kind of a slug looking bait. It's cylindrical. It's perfectly round. And it just tapers back towards the tail. It just comes to a little point, and it looks like nothing. No bait fish or anything we have in the water out here. I mean, it's just. I remember years ago when Mirlure sent me some. I'm going, well, that's unique. You know, and I smell of them. They got a good scent to them. The fish like and. So I tied one on one day. The first trout I caught with one was a 5-pound trout, and I was hooked after that. You just got to learn how to work it. It's more of a twitch bait where you got to, I mean, you can catch fish just reeling it in when the fish are really on and they want that steady pattern. But most of the time, what I like about that bait is it's just under 4 inches. It's 3 3/4 inches. And you put it on a jig head and it just lights up. I mean, it sinks fast, so you can actually go to a lighter head because it throws so good. You know, when you cast, it's real aerodynamic. It'll cast into the wind or downwind, and it's real versatile. And you can put it on a smaller jig head because you get a good sink rate with it, and it stays in the strike zone. You know, what I like about it, I can be fishing 8 feet of water, and if I've got it on a 16th or an 8th-ounce jig head, I can still get it down if I slow it down. But then if I'm fishing four suspended fish that are in that 4-foot water column where they're suspended, those are the hardest fish to catch. And that particular bait, I can work it with the right speed and retrieve on my reel and put a lot of jigging action on it where I'm just bouncing it all through the fish, and they come get it. Once they bite it, they'll taste that scent, and they'll come back on it. You know, sometimes the, you know, fish are kind of lethargic, and they're just what I call tail nipping, you know, not sucking the bait in. They just bite the tail of it. They taste that scent, and they'll come back and suck it in all the way.
If it push for time, so, lady, what does that ladyfish look like?
It looks, it's a long, slender fish, kind of like a, kind of the way a tarpon's built. It has big eyes, and it's got a fairly wide mouth and a soft mouth. And they're called ladyfish, skipjacks, horse mackerel. You know, when they get real big, a lot of the old-timers called them horse mackerel because they got real big with those big eyeballs. And it's just, they're what I call a nuisance fish, you know, that we deal with, you know, in the months of like August and September within our bays. They just, especially for people that use live bait, they just eat everybody up. They're bait stealers, and they're hard to land because they do all the air, you know.
The crow one. Sergeant here the other day, some brothers goes in, and they're catching a lot of small croakers, and they're full of eggs. Do you think it's going to be a late croaker run or what?
It's a little later this year than normal. Usually, you know, up my way on the north end of the complex, we have a croaker run in September, and it's just now kicking in. And, yeah, everything's a little bit later this year.
Yeah, I know every now and then you catch a few large ones, but they're not, you know, they usually be in September. That's when we start catching them down the sergeant.
Right. And, the croaker population is way down. You know, as far as the mature fish, it's been going down for years.
They catch them quite a and they're just packed with eggs.
Right.
So I think the croaker run is going to be a little later, maybe 2 weeks from now, another week.
That's what I'm seeing. You're spot on that.
Okay, then. I thank you for speaking with me, and you enjoy your day.
Anytime, James. We love hearing from you. All right, buddy. You have a good Sunday. Take care. All right. Well, that was our last caller of the day, and good show. A lot of fun. But guess what? I'm going to take off and go fishing. I'll be back Thursday morning here at 4 a.m. Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.